Forgiveness this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decides by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Savior has come. He fulfilled His covenant promises, and He came and He was born as a babe. And no one who comes to the Father but through Him will see the forgiveness of sins. All those who unite to Jesus Christ in baptism, holding fast to Him by faith, and faithfully keeping covenant with Him, God Himself promises that Jesus came, died for you, and rose again so you can have eternal life with Him. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond with joyful song for the Lord's grace that He's shown us in His Son. We will hear this morning in Luke's Gospel about the infant Jesus and Jesus as a boy. And in Jesus' life, He had to grow up. He had to mature. He had to learn. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 7, he had to learn to discern good and evil. And that is the responsibility of all Christians. In Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, we grow up. It's not by flesh and blood, but it's by His Spirit that we grow up in maturity. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we do not know His commandments, how do we love Jesus? So we hear from God's Word this morning on how to love God. God's will for life this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Brothers and sisters, these are the words of God. This is how we are to love Him. Proverbs 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the unjust. Or course of the just, and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made with God, before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. As we prepare to hear from His word proclaimed, let us pray unto the Holy Spirit and ask for His blessing upon that word. Will you pray with me? Our gracious God and Father in heaven, you put within our hearts an oracle concerning the sinfulness of the wicked, for there is no fear of God before His eyes. For in His own eyes He flatters Himself too much to detect or hate His sin. The words of His mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Even on His own bed He plots evil. He commits Himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. But Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, Your justice like the great deep. O Lord, You preserve both man and beast. How priceless is Your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of Your wings. They feast on the abundance of Your house. You give them delight. You give them drink from the river of Your delights. For with You is the fountain of life. In Your light we see light. Lord, continue Your love to those who know You, Your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against us, nor the hand of the wicked drive us away. May we see, Lord, how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. Lord, may we not be like wicked men. May we discern and seek after knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. May we seek after Your word to know it, to love it, and to live by it. Lord, work in us by Your Spirit to shape us and change us. Help us, Lord, to hate sin. Help us, Lord, to love righteousness. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us prepare our hearts and our souls with joyful song. Let us stand together and sing unto God. Our sermon text this morning continues in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2. Picking up on verse 21 through the end of the chapter, verse 52. Luke 2, 21 to 52. Brothers and sisters, the word of the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with rejoicing and let your hearts not be hardened. Luke 2, 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated, that is, holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the season of Advent has concluded. We are celebrating the arrival of our King, not the coming, but the arrival. Jesus, the Son of God. Now in Luke's gospel account, he transitions from preparation for Jesus' coming in chapter 1 to the birth of Christ in chapter 2. And now at the end of chapter 2, we have the early part of Jesus' earthly life. Now I joked last Lord's Day that Jesus was a perfect toddler in church, sitting still at the synagogue. I joked, but it was undoubtedly the case. Jesus did not sin, not as a baby, not as a toddler, not as a young boy. He did not disobey his parents. In fact, we hear in verse 51, Jesus went down to Nazareth with his parents, and he was obedient to them. He was submissive to his parents. Whenever we might find it difficult to submit to someone in this life, whether it be wives to husbands or children to parents, employees to a boss, church members to elders, when we find it difficult to do that in this life, remember that the perfect Son of God submitted to fallible parents. The Son of God submitted to parents who sinned. Perfect submission. So please keep that in mind. Now this passage does teach us what the Christ child was like. We have the account of his parents bringing him for circumcision after the purification time had ended. And Simeon and Anna praise God over the arrival of the Messiah, the Christ child. And the chapter concludes with this odd account of Joseph and Mary bringing 12-year-old Jesus to Jerusalem for Passover, leaving him behind and returning to find him learning from and teaching the scribes at the temple. Now, there are notes, more elaborate explanations for this passage in your mailboxes and your devotionals. But this passage, as a whole, focuses primarily around Jesus and the temple, the Son of God in the flesh, and the house of the Lord where his people came unto him. In fact, Luke 1 and 2 surround the Christ child and the temple in their entirety. For example, the Virgin Mary is portrayed as the Ark of the Covenant, carrying God's presence in the unborn babe. And chapter 2 features Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the temple both as an infant and a young man. With all this temple-centered activity, child Jesus himself sums up what he came to do. Jesus, temple, why'd you come? Verse 49. Jesus asked his parents, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be at my Father's house?" The coming, the advent, and the arrival of the Son of God in the flesh was to fulfill God's promises to redeem his people. But in Jesus Christ, the person, 100% God, 100% man, God's people have the embodiment of God's presence with them. Remember, the whole Old Testament, the Old Covenant Scriptures, all pointed forward to Jesus. God was gracious with Israel. God strengthened the faith of his people. He encouraged them to trust in his promises. Simeon says this is all happening in Jesus. And one example of that was the temple. The temple was wonderful and glorious. It was a place of faithful pride in God. As the Israelites worshipped and they came close to his glorious presence. But the temple wasn't the end in and of itself. Something greater than the temple was coming. Something for whom the people had to look. And that greater someone was Jesus Christ. Let's pause there and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Set up. Good boy. Hey. Can I see your eyes on me, please? Can I see your eyes? Listen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Were you ready for that one? No. Kind of? Some yet? Yeah, okay. All right. Who can raise their hand and tell me? When God came to earth, he came in a person. Who can raise their hand and tell me the name of that person? Jesus. Raise your hand if you're going to say Jesus. Okay. Very good. Hands down. Now, in the first half of the sermon, can I see your eyes on me? The first half of the sermon, we're talking about God as Jesus with his people. God came to be with his people and he came as Jesus. Now, Jesus was born as a baby, and then he grew up to be a toddler, and then he grew up to be a boy, and then he grew up to be an adult, a man. Okay?
A teenager.
Then he was a teenager first, right? Right. First a teenager, then a man. Good job.
My sister's a teenager.
Your sister's a teenager? All right. Is she like Jesus?
Yes.
A little bit? Okay. Now, who can raise her and tell us what happened to Jesus on Good Friday?
He died on the cross for our sins.
And who can raise your hand and tell me what happened on the third day?
He rose from the dead.
Good job. He rose from the dead. Okay? One more. Who can raise... Actually, two more. Who can raise your hand and tell me what happened in the ascension.
What's the ascension?
It's a good question. In the ascension, Jesus went up into
heaven.
And when Jesus went up, his disciples were really sad. They were really sad. Who can raise their hand and tell us why were they really sad? Maybe a little scared? The people would miss him because he wouldn't be there, right? He'd be in heaven. But Jesus didn't leave us alone. Who did he send in his place? Heaven?
Holy
the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you have the Holy Spirit with you right now. Yeah. Hands down. If you have the Holy Spirit, God is with you right now.
No.
Yes. God came as Jesus, and then he came as the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I want to back up just to that coming. Jesus came the first time. Do you know that Jesus is going to come again? He's going to come again with glory, and he's never going to leave. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Jesus will never leave. That's a good thing. We call that the second advent of Jesus Christ. We had the first advent when he was born as a baby. And we have the second advent when he comes to be with us forever. Well, it's the Spirit right now. But he will come again and you'll see him in all his glory. Raise your hand if you got a gift for Christmas. Anybody get a gift for Christmas? Okay, hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is the greatest gift that God gave us?
Jesus.
So we get presents on Christmas because Jesus was the best present we could get. But a greater present will come when Jesus comes again. We will get God forever and ever, and he'll never leave us. Isn't that great? All right, let's pray. Will you fold hands with me, please? Close your eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and sending us your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to believe your promises that you will come again and be with us forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can get back to your seats. Now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke, in his writing, in Luke 2 here, actually Luke 1 and 2, he revolves all this activity in his writing around the temple. That's not a coincidence. Simeon draws our attention to Jerusalem, and Anna draws our attention to the temple. And they draw this sharp distinction between God's blessing in the temple, in the holy city, in the most holy place, to God's presence in the real thing. That is, Jesus the Christ. Both Anna and Simeon were advanced in years. Both served the Lord faithfully, waiting for the coming Messiah. They worshipped and served him. Both trusted in his promises. Simeon, again, in the holy city Jerusalem, we're told that's where he was, waiting for the consolation, the redemption of Israel. And the Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before seeing the Lord. Imagine that promise. You will not die until you see the Lord. And then you see this couple walking into town with a baby, and the Spirit moves you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to Simeon. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that that baby was the Savior for whom he was waiting. That baby was the Lord and is the Lord. When Simeon saw the infant Christ, he proclaimed, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, God, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." That's what the Spirit revealed through Simeon. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. See, this Jesus coming to bring the kingdom of God always had all of creation in mind. For God so loved the world. Did God love Israel? Yes. Did God love the Gentile nations? Yes. He loved everything that he had made so much that he sent his son. To be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. So Jesus came for all. Simeon didn't exalt the city. He didn't exalt Jerusalem. He didn't exalt the temple. He celebrated that or to whom those pointed. The holy city, Jerusalem, pointed to Jesus. The temple pointed to Jesus. And that is what Simeon exalted, the true and full presence of God in human flesh. And Anna did the same thing. Serving in the temple up to 84 years old. She was only married 7 years. And then she was widowed. And never married again. Just served the temple every day. Praying and fasting in the morning and in the evening. Even when there was a football game on in the evening, she went to the temple. Prayed and fasted. Like Simeon, she responded in joy to seeing the baby Jesus. Again, waiting. Waiting for God to fulfill his faithful promises, Anna sees the baby. And she exalted him. And she praised him. And then she went forth, and what did she do? She told all. She told all the faithful who are waiting for the Messiah, she told, I just saw him. He's a baby. He's only about a month old, a little over a month. I just saw him, the one we're waiting for. That's him. Don't look to the sign when you can look at the real thing. Later, in 12-year-old Jesus, God in the flesh came back to his temple. And he laid the groundwork for his blessed presence among his people. In Luke's gospel, as we continue in the book, we will continue to be drawn to, God will continue to draw his people to himself. Look past the sign. You don't tell your non-Christian friends, you don't tell your non-Christian family members, hey, that building over there that says Hamlin Reformed, that's where God is. If you do, you shouldn't. Okay, when we all go from this house this afternoon, this isn't God in here. God's in here now. God is amongst his people. God is with us by the Spirit in the people of God. If this building were to fall, may the Lord never do that, but if this building were to fall and we had to go somewhere else to worship, God would be with us there. And then if we had to go somewhere else, God would be with us there. If we ever had an outdoor service, God would be with us there. So look past the sign. Dave, it's a very nice building. I'm not criticizing it. Look past the sign at the real thing. Look around you. You want to see the image of God? Look at the person next to you. Look past the sign at the real thing. There was nothing wrong. There was nothing sinful about the temple. And there's nothing sinful about worshiping in a building. It's really nice on a day like today. But the building isn't the real thing. Just like there was nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law Code. God made it. He wrote it and he gave it to his people. There's nothing wrong with it. But it wasn't the real thing. The law pointed to Jesus. And God didn't give his people the temple so they would worship the temple. He gave them the temple as a sign, as a blessing. God's dwelling with his people. And then Jesus came as the true temple. Tear it down, he says. Tear down the temple and I will raise it on the third day. That's why any talk today of building another temple is blasphemy against Jesus Christ. Any talk today of rebuilding the temple and reinstituting a sacrificial system is blasphemy against Jesus Christ. He is the true temple. He is the one-time sacrifice that eliminates all other sacrifices. We don't have to do it again. So look past all that stuff at the real thing, Jesus Christ. And if others don't believe that, point them to Jesus. Jesus began his earthly life by calling people to himself, the greater temple in this case. Advent, John pointed to Jesus. John got it. And in his birth, the Lord drew the faithful, the shepherds, angels to himself in the humble manger. And in his circumcision and presentation at the temple, Jesus proclaimed as a child, "Hey, faithful Jews, here's the one we're waiting for." Simeon said it. Anna said it. Here's the one. Here's the Messiah. And then 12-year-old Jesus, back at the temple, look at the wisdom. Look at what he knows. He's impressing everyone. And he says, "I have to do my Father's work in his house. I have to do it. That's why I'm here. I'm the temple." Brothers and sisters, this is a great message for this season. Enjoy all the blessings you have at Christmas time. Enjoy all the good gifts. Enjoy the time with family and the beloved traditions that you celebrate. But don't let them distract you from the real thing. We are blessed. We are blessed with blessings. We give thanks. But that has to go to someone, right? To get blessings, the blessings have to come from someone. To give thanks, you have to give thanks to someone. There is an ultimate gift giver. Someone has surrounded you with loved ones. Someone has given you a life with memories and traditions. Someone has given you good gifts and time together. So what do? You praise God from whom all blessings flow. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.